What is it this morning? General teen angst or something specific?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 6, The Dance. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Not Sarah D. Bunting for the last installment of his engagement with us. It's Adam Grossworth.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm sorry I'm not Sarah, but I'm still delighted to be here.
We're thrilled to have you for The Dance, not to be confused with Dance. That's bad episode naming hygiene. Come on, guys. Before we get into it, though, we want to tell you what's happening on our Patreon. Again with this, episode 203, dropping August 9th, is going to be Let's Watch Jed Allen on The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Before he was Rush Sanders, he was himself a substitute, sitting in for Ted Baxter, and that is, in fact, the title of the episode, Season 2, Episode 9. And now, sitting in for Ted Baxter, it is on Hulu. Can't wait to talk about this with Sarah. It's really fun. I was thrilled when rewatch. It's our first watch of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And there he was being the perfect anchor man of the 70s. I loved it. Find that and more at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Join us at any level to hear that. We only really have one storyline this week. It's just The Dance. So let's get into it. Our A and only plot line: Dawson suffers multiple crises at and around the homecoming dance. We open on Andy absolutely going off in Dawson's bedroom to Footloose, which she and Joey and Dawson and Pacey are watching on Dawson's TV. She cannot wait for the homecoming dance next weekend, not knowing she has fallen in with a clique who are too cool for school events, as they explain to her. Clip two.
You guys are a bunch of cynics, you know that? I mean, what kind of high school memories are you guys going to have if all you did in high school is bitch and moan about everything?
Bitching memories.
Moaning memories.
You guys are completely sabotaging your high school experience.
Guilty as charged. Now, Dawson, if you don't mind, would you turn the video back on? Because I really want to see who's responsible for Kevin Bacon's roguish devil-may-care hairdo.
You mean you would rather watch a movie about something than doing it yourselves?
Correct.
Okay, what about sex? I mean, you guys are missing a major opportunity here. Why else do you think the Bible Thumpers and Footloose were so adamant about outlawing dancing? They believed it to be sinful.
Are you saying dancing equals sex?
No, I'm saying dancing could possibly be really great foreplay.
I love the way you think.
So, who's coming with me on Saturday?
Are you saying dancing equals sex? Ask the movie guy.
Honestly.
Like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Dawson, in our timeline, had a lot of questions about West Side Story, the Steven Spielberg version. He just could not understand it at all.
Yeah. I find Andy's love of Footloose deeply relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the bitching memories, moaning memories line made me laugh the first time and made me laugh again just now. And I wish that they were like this more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they would be so much more likable characters if they were actually this kind of like weird Breakfast Club-y group of people.
Well, I mean, I'm glad, as you said, that you caught up on my so-called life, because there's definitely more of that attitude over there for sure.
Yeah. The reason I mentioned that in my first episode is that I feel like if I had watched that at the time, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been as fond of Dawson's Creek as I was at the time, because I was like, oh, they're over-articulate. It's the point. That's the whole deal. And yes, but others did it better.
Yeah, it's true. I also don't get the you'd rather watch a movie about something than do it yourself. Like, most of the movies I watch are about things I don't want to do myself. Like,
yeah.
The last movie I saw in the theater was Challengers. I've never played tennis. It made me want to play it less, honestly.
And it's really like a misread of Footloose to be like, it's about a school dance.
Right. Yeah, no. But whatever. After the credits, Bessie drops a mopey Joey at school. Joey makes sure Bessie will respond to anything Joey tells her with sisterly concern and then confesses about Jack kissing her. Bessie immediately cracks up that the ice house chore boy made a move, but when she hears it didn't go further than that, she doesn't know what the problem is. Joey's like, Dawson? And a weary Bessie's like, you didn't tell him, did you? Joey didn't, but the issue is that it's the sort of thing she would have told Dawson the friend, and now he's Dawson the boyfriend. Bessie checks that it was a one-way kiss. Joey says it was. I disagree, but fine. Bessie says it was a surprise, no big deal, and Joey didn't do anything wrong. She should just put it behind her and pretend it didn't happen, which, like, if she wasn't interested in Jack is good advice, but she is, so it's not.
Yeah. Bessie laughing at this reads to me like she knows something that I'm actually not sure the writers know yet. But we do, and
interesting.
I've never loved Bessie more.
Yeah, later you sort of get a germ of that too when Jack walks Jen home. It's like, oh, okay, we can see what your friendship is going to be when things get figured out. Anyway, Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer on the soundtrack does not agree with Bessie, and we watch Christy, that's the Ellie Larder character, roll up on some football players as Abby and Jen discuss whether her boobs are real. Now Christy's boyfriend, Brett Tompkins, is Abby's next fantasy object, which is a good call because Jen has no interest in him at all. They will not be competing over this dude. But even so, she thinks Abby's plan to attend the dance just to hit on someone else's boyfriend is tacky and Abby's on her own. And inside, Brett and Christy are fighting in the hall when Dawson walks past them to Joey, and clip three.
Promise me we will never air a relational crisis in Sir Dawson like that. I can't think of anything more embarrassing or immature.
Deal.
Okay. Right? Now remind me again how Annie McPhee convinced us to go to this homecoming dance.
I think by promising us that dancing always ends in tawdry smut action.
Oh. Could that possibly be our first mention of sex since we've been together?
Possibly.
Why is that? When we were friends, we talked about sex all the time.
I think because we wanted to ease into the subject in order to make the transition from friend to lover. Sound confusing?
Yeah. Well, you know, if we are confused about the transition from friend to lover, I can only think of one thing that would truly cinch it.
What do you suggest?
That you put on your dancing shoes.
First of all, you meant clinch it. Second, stop saying lover!
Stop saying lover.
Stop saying
lover. You're 16-year-olds in 1998. It's weird.
No, it's weird. Yes.
It's weird now. Also, tawdry smut action. Also, that thing with Gail and Mitch being weird was four episodes ago. You've definitely talked about sex. We saw you do it.
Yes. Also, you talked about sex in the premiere in the hall at school. Like, she was joking, but you still did. Whatever. This is when Jen walks by. She and Dawson briefly say hi, Abby sneering at him to wipe off the drool. Joey doesn't like the two of them being so chummy and calls Abby a bad influence. True and yet important. Dawson laughs at the idea that Joey's concerned about Jen, but Joey recaps, leave it to the professionals, the recent crises in Jen's life. Clip four.
Maybe we should invite her to the dance. I mean, we're going as a group. Might be fun for her.
Joey Potter, I applaud you. You earned major humanity points for this. But don't you think we might make her feel worse than she already does?
I don't know. I mean, all I know is that it is really hard to lose a family member, Dawson. And I just think it might be fun for her. It's up to you. Your call.
Why is it his call?
Yeah, if they're going as a group.
Yeah. Anyway, they annoyingly kiss and part ways. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the extras shouting wild lines. Clip five.
Hey, Rich, can I borrow your calculator for
math? So, because I saw that you had this on the clip list, I don't know that I would have noticed this otherwise, but the next scene, which is outdoors, still at school, but outdoors, it's the same background track. The exact same voices are still, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I could be wrong, but it sounds like they didn't even, like, cut it. It just is the same peas and carrots. I have a calculator going through the whole thing.
That's great. I totally miss that.
I mean, I could be wrong, but it stuck out. And also, just to your constant point that nobody cares about these people, like, they are fully making out in the middle of the hallway, and the extras don't look at them at all. They just keep walking past them.
Yes.
Sort of amazing.
Well, it's also because the extras are all 37, and they have to get to their second job. Joey stops dead because Jack is coming in, dropping his books on the way, of course, because he's clumsy. That's part of his character. The camera zooms in on Joey like a Jaws shot, panicking, and she takes off before Jack can see her. Elsewhere, Pacey says he's in charge of transportation to the dance and respectfully asks where he should pick Andy up. She quickly says they should meet out in town. He is fine with that, But he does ask after her mom, saying if Andy needs anything, she can always ask. And she changes the subject to his dance moves, but clip six.
Sorry, no can do, McPhee. I don't dance.
What do you mean you don't dance?
What are you, Brandon Walsh? I expected her to say, because they've already mentioned 90210 on the show. It was right there. Pacey says he doesn't like dancing and sucks at it, so Andy should just be grateful he's going at all. And they descend into flirty bickering, which is when Dawson runs into them. Andy wants to invite Jack to the dance since he's kind of a loner, and Dawson thinks that's a great idea since he can be Jen's kind of sort of date if she comes too. And Pacey silently winces as Dawson and Andy both enthuse about the setup, and finally Pacey tells him it's a bad idea to set up two people who don't know each other and that this will end in disaster. Andy's gonna do it. Pacey wonders if he's invisible. Then Dawson gets home after school to Gail and Mitch waiting for him forebodingly in the sun porch, and he looks terrified because he can obviously guess what's about to happen. Mitch starts real badly. Clip seven.
I know things got a little out of hand the other night, and, well, I'm not sure what the segue is here, but...
What were you doing while you were waiting for Dawson to get home or last night? Like, have some talking points prepared, idiot. This is why your restaurant's going to fail. But anyway, duh, they're separating. Dawson thinks he has a vote, I guess. Clip eight.
Well, sounds like you two have given this quite a bit of careful thought.
Yes, honey, we have.
Right. And so for me to suggest that you go back to counseling wouldn't make any difference.
We've tried it.
So I guess it would do no good to suggest that you make a more concerted effort at trying to find a solution. Maybe improve communication, possibly... More family outings, truth serum.
Dawson, your opinion is important to us and we love you. But we're not open to suggestions on this one. Now, this is a conclusion that we've reached.
Yeah. Well, I conclude that your conclusion sucks.
Ew!
Shut up, Dawson.
Oh my God. You're a child. Go to your room.
Also, they've clearly been miserable for weeks in front of you.
Yeah.
That was also a problem for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, then it's Saturday, and Jack and Andy are bickering about Pacey picking them up downtown. Jack is in a tie, by the way, which, like, no one at any dance I ever went to, not very long before this, ever did.
I didn't go to a lot of dances, but I feel like it was a thing.
All right.
Because you'd have one from your bar mitzvah, and, you know, you just...
You kept it tied so you didn't have to, like, learn how to do it again, because this is before YouTube. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
He is in a suit that fits, I will note. Hold on to that for a minute from now.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So remember in the last episode when Andy said she mostly looked after her mother and that Jack helped? He doesn't sound that helpful, asking if Andy strapped Mrs. McPhee in for the night and saying she's not getting any better. Andy testily says she would like one night off to have fun, so he could please stop being such a bitch. I'm paraphrasing. But the answer is no, he can't stop. Clip nine.
Well, then maybe I shouldn't be around. I'll just bring you down, Andy. I hate dances. I don't do well at these things.
Don't be silly. It'll be fun, okay? Besides, it's time we got you out and met some of Capeside's cuties. And who knows? You might meet the woman of your dreams tonight.
Maybe. Maybe I already have.
Ooh!
Pacey?
Speaking of, then Pacey's there in his father's cruiser, still without a driver's license, as far as we know, by the way. Back at the Leary house, Gail is sadly watching Mitch load up his SUV. He soulfully says this is only temporary, and she agrees, not sounding very convinced. She asks if they can talk to each other. He says she can call him whenever she wants, and she tells him to go, and he does. And Dawson, getting ready for the dance, also in a jacket and tie, watches out the window as Gail cries. And when he comes downstairs, Gail is lethargically chopping vegetables. And when he asks, lies that she's fine, it's just the onions. I don't think there were any. He offers to stay home with her if she wants. But she says for the 40th time she's fine and declines. And when he asks, to turn around and say it facing him. So she sends him to pick up Joey and he shuffles off. And walking into school, Andy and Pacey's in like a bowling shirt, no tie, but with a jacket. They are back to passive-aggressive banter, this time about whether he just ran a red light. As Jack trudges morosely behind them, they run into Dawson and Joey in the hall, and Dawson and Pacey shake hands? Like, they greet each other with a handshake.
Oh, I missed that.
It's crazy.
I was really stuck on the fact that Andy might have good reason to be concerned about safe driving.
Yeah.
Pacey?
Mm-hmm. Although, also doesn't really have a leg to stand on, safe driving-wise.
Like, don't run a red light, dude.
No, it's true. Jack glares as Andy reintroduces him to people who have met him many times. Jen's dress is the least of its time, possibly because it's like sheer black over a black strappy slip, so we can't really see what it looks like, really. It just looks black. However, once again, she has curled her hair and not combed out her ringlets, and I still do not approve. Mm. Andy introduces Jack and Jen, who maybe have not met. She looks friendly and interested, and he looks moderately miserable. And then the camera swings back to Joey staring at them like a crazy person before she snaps out of it and tells Dawson they should go in, and then looks back longingly at Jack. And it's still 1998, so yes, there are multiple couples who have learned full swing dance choreo, and you can see the gifs in our visual aids.
Oh, I thought Joey and Jen both looked super cute, even though Joey is very 1998. And you mentioned it, but I got to go back. The bowling shirt, it's so shiny, and the collar is out over the suit jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Jack's tie is like the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Abby has a choker, because of course she does.
Of course, yes.
Just Dawson's suit is so big.
It's large. Mm-hmm.
And I know it was sort of the style at the time, but the sleeves actually are too long. Like, it does not fit him.
Yes.
It's just real weird.
There is a shot in the visual aids. It was hard to get a still shot that showed how wide the pants actually are, because he's like coming down the stairs when we see him head to toe.
Yeah.
And so he's walking, so it's hard to see. But yes, it's huge, this suit. And I think Pacey's, even though it's a bowling shirt and shiny and in under a jacket, I think that's a swingers reference as well. Like, I
probably.
Think that was the style inspiration for that, probably.
Yeah. And just a note on Jack, because you don't normally have somebody who was once a 16-year-old who thought he liked girls and then realized later he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, even though I don't think the show knew that yet, spoiler, sorry, listeners,
sure.
That he is 25 years old, it's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, this reads really believable to me that, like, Joey is exactly who he would have a crush on, and he's deeply uncomfortable at the dance in every way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say I found it charming, because I actually find it very annoying, but, like, knowing where things are going, I was like, oh, yeah, this isn't a retcon. This totally makes sense to me.
Yeah.
As who this guy would be at this moment.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me, too. So after we're done showcasing the featured extras, who are very extra with the swing dancing, the characters that we know dance, Dawson and Joey are together. They do a dip. Andy makes her brother dance with her while Pacey watches from the sidelines. And then Abby comes through with her choker, of course, a classic 1998 overdone sproingy hairdo as well. She stops next to Jen and notes that she decided to come after all. Abby loves Jen's dress and says she has the same one in a smaller size, which, like, yeah, you're 4 feet tall. Of course you do.
Yeah.
I know that's not what she meant, but that's how I choose to interpret it. So then Joey and Dawson are showing off when he spins her into Jack and they get awkward. And when the DJ switches to a slow dance, Andy runs over to drag Jen onto the floor to dance with Jack. And when he finally, seemingly reluctantly, takes Jen's hand to dance, Jen quietly asks if he thinks they're being set up. The camera zooms back to Andy waving at them, and Jack's like, yeah, maybe. Back to Pacey and Andy watching, Pacey commenting that Jack and Jen are complete opposites. Over to Joey, getting a cheerful update from Dawson, clip 10.
So then my dad drove off and left my mom crying over the kitchen sink. God, what I wouldn't give now for them to go back to their coffee table sex antics.
I'm sorry, Dawson.
You know, I'm just gonna let them work out their adolescent traumas on their own. Steer clear. So there is a bright side.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
The coffee table is now available.
The coffee table's been through enough. Let it rest. It's not fair to the coffee table.
Also, how have they not talked since this happened?
I don't know. Didn't he pick her up?
Right. Or call her?
Yeah. So then Dawson comes around so that Jack and Jen are in his eye line. He admits that he and Andy played matchmaker tonight. And clip 11.
Why would you do that, Dawson? I mean, that's like the worst thing I've ever heard of.
They both need to meet new people. They're both single.
Yeah, but Jack is this nice, sweet guy, and Jen is this barracuda. It will never work.
Why are you getting so worked up about this?
I'm not getting worked up, Dawson. I have an opinion, that's all.
Well, alert the media.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
And then he also kisses her to shut her up. It's a 1-2 punch of shitty. Back to a fast song. Andy tries again to get Pacey to dance, but he stands firm. Andy thinks he's holding out on her as a power move to keep control in their relationship. He won't even do a slow dance, though. Andy squints that he can be so stubborn and takes off to find someone who will. And that's when Pacey sees Christy on the floor dancing up on Brett. And then it's another slow one, and Andy runs up to Jen and Jack and announces it's time to switch partners. Jen excuses herself, and Andy cuts in on Joey and Dawson so she can dance with someone she's not related to, and Jack can dance with his boss. Joey looks alarmed, but she and Jack go along with it. Awkwardly! Clip 12.
Look, Joey, I know you've been avoiding me.
I haven't been avoiding you.
No, no, it's all right, because you know, I just want you to know that I take full responsibility.
Full responsibility?
For kissing you. You know, I apologize. I crossed the line.
Yeah, you did, Jack. Because I have a boyfriend, and you knew that. And now, thanks to you, I feel guilty every time I look at him over nothing. In fact, I don't even think we should be having this conversation right now.
So they make such a scene, not really dancing, and then with Joey running out, as at least one and usually several girls do at every school dance, that Dawson notices and clearly wants to follow and see what's up, but Andy has him in her iron grip. And then Joey's alone in the hall when Jack runs out after her. Clip 13.
Did I mention that you weren't supposed to follow me?
I just want to apologize, Joey. Okay, that's all I want to do.
Fine. You apologize. Noted. See you later.
Wait a minute. What are you so angry about?
Why am I so angry? I am angry because you didn't respect me or my relationship. What you did was so rude and inappropriate.
No. I think there's something else going on here.
What?
It's all this anger that you're expressing. It doesn't make any sense, okay? It doesn't add up.
What are you talking about?
I don't think you're angry with me for kissing you. I think you're angry with yourself for kissing me back.
Okay, so then he turns around to walk away, and Dawson is right there without either of them having seen him come up, which I don't know how, but they
did. And then when they cut to a wide shot later, and Joey is several feet away.
She sure is.
When she was in Jack's face a second ago.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be noticing this on your teen soap, guys. Like, we don't actually care about continuity, but it was bad.
Yeah, or at least, like, stage them so that you could think he came around a corner and that's why they didn't see him or something. And, like, but whatever. Still, I had totally forgotten about this moment. I kind of legit gassed, despite
me
the,
too.
The blocking makes no sense. I was like, oh, fuck! It's really good.
Yeah.
So Jack runs off one way, Joey goes another, Dawson's left alone, foreshadowing!
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
After the commercial, Abby has talked her way into a dance with Brett and is telling him how much she admires him working all his muscle groups equally. I don't know, shoot your shot, I guess. Elsewhere, Jen is thanking Andy for inviting her tonight and saying she had a surprisingly good time. Clip 14.
Pat, why are you speaking in the past tense? I mean, the party's still going.
I think it's about over for me. I'm just sort of beat, so if you don't mind, I'm going to head home.
Mind? Of course I mind. I mean, we were just in the middle of a very interesting conversation. We were sharing and getting to know each other. Now you just want to leave like that?
Andy, I'm going to take off.
Oh, perfect. Then you can walk Jen home.
That's good. It's good writing.
Yeah, I do like her a lot.
Mm-hmm. But before they can leave, it's time for the other thing that happens at every dance. Clip 15.
Jack, what the hell happened? Look, you really should talk to Joey about this.
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Look, it was a weird night. The room was full, all right? It just happened.
So you kissed my girlfriend?
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to apologize for it, man, because truth is, I'd do it again. So let's just not make this into some high school romp, all right? Because neither of us are the type.
Dawson, what are you doing?
I mean, I don't think anyone of us believes that Dawson could drop Jack with one punch. But,
well, maybe Jack, you know, but nobody else.
It's TV.
It's plausible that he is a rage monster incel type, but also not. Like, I don't buy it.
No.
I buy the rage. I don't buy the physical violence. That seems very unlike him.
Dawson, to his credit, also looks like he can't believe he really did it and takes off, Abby tossing him a nice punch champ as he runs by her. And then it's a slow dance. Pacey comes out of the bathroom and sees Christy standing alone in the kind of medium heels that let us know one of her scene partners does not convincingly tower over her. And I don't think it's Joshua Jackson, who is 6'2" if you believe the internet, so probably at least 5'11". When Pacey asks, Christy says she's out there alone thinking about why her boyfriend will flirt with anything in a short skirt and why Christy isn't secure enough to stop him. Pacey says he knows about 800 guys who would replace Brett if she dumped him, and that's just in the school. She seems not to believe him, so he strolls across the hall to say in different words she's really hot, and he thought she should know, and he is sidling off when she asks if he's one of the guys whose pulses quicken when they see her, which, like, if that's literally the case, she should be concerned, because heart stripe. She comments that there's always a moment, even at the lamest dance, that makes it all worthwhile. Will Pacey dance with her? He will, and they do. And for some reason, this is when we cut to Mitch sitting alone in his sad motel room, and I know you have thoughts on that.
Props to the set decorators for making this hotel look disgusting.
Yeah.
But even so, get your fucking shoes off the bed, Mitch.
Yeah.
And also, get the bedspread off the bed before you get in the bed without your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have consistent, strong feelings about this that Sarah does, but that bedspread looks disgusting.
Yes, it does. I mean, I can't remember the last time I stayed in a hotel that even had a bedspread.
Well, yeah, like now
everyone
clearly,
knows. Yeah.
Yeah, now they're clearly machine washable. It's not a problem.
Right.
But I don't know why this bothered me. Like, he's being mopey in a shitty motel. It shouldn't matter, but like just something. Also, like, you're being mopey in a shitty hotel. Take your shoes off. Be comfortable. Take your pants off. Like, what are you doing?
Seriously. So then we cut to Gail sitting alone at her sad kitchen table, and I love that the produce she was chopping is just sitting out on the chopping board, and she's eating ice cream from the cart. She knows how to do this right.
I missed that. Good job.
So her phone rings. Of course, it's Mitch telling her he now has access to the home shopping network. She really kept a tight grip on the purse strings if she didn't let him have cable at home. She giggles and says she never realized how big their house was before tonight, and she can still call it their house, right? And he says, yes, it is. She doesn't know if she can do this. He says she has to. No matter how big the house is, it's too small for the two of them. She says the door's always open to him. They awkwardly hang up and return to their separate lives. And in case we didn't know, the music supervisor found a song to underline it. Clip 16.
She broke his smile. He cut his tongue on words reclaimed by rust. He stood his ground. She stood a distance.
That's an F. We get it.
That's the real track, not the sub-track?
I think it's the real track.
Yikes.
Anyway, back at school, Jack and Jen are getting ready to leave before Dawson decides he wants a rematch. Jack apologizes to Andy, and she tells Jen to take care of him, and that's when Andy turns around and sees Pacey slow dancing with Christy, even though he said he didn't do that. And he looks up and sees her and feels like a piece of shit. Speaking of pieces of shit, as Dawson stalks out of the school, Joey leaps up to run after him and talk about it. Clip 17.
I know all about the kiss.
No, you
Joey,
don't.
Joey, you kissed somebody else. What else is there to know?
It wasn't like that. He kissed me, and I just didn't.
Stop him.
Look, I'm sorry, Dawson, okay? It was a mistake, a poor error in judgment, and that's it. And for you to blow this into some earth-shattering scene of cinematic proportions.
Wait a minute. You're not going to do that to me.
Do what?
You're not going to use who I am against me just to divert from the fact that you screwed up.
I said I was sorry. What else do you want me to say?
There's nothing you can say, Joey. There's no justifiable reason why the girl who spent the last 15 years of her life pretending I was the only thing she wanted ended up kissing some other guy and lying about it.
Look, I didn't lie to you, Dawson. That kiss was not my doing.
Not your doing?
No.
Would you metaphysically leave your body the exact second your lips touched his?
Don't do this. Don't punish me just to make yourself feel better.
Oh, so I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, I guess you are.
You cheat on me and I'm the bad guy.
Yes. Don't you get it? This isn't about some stupid kiss, Dawson.
No, it's about...
No. It's about me. For once, it's about me, Dawson. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Well, the extras are finally paying attention. That was nice.
Yes, they're doing the thing from before that he said he never wanted them to do, and now they're doing it. Oh, the irony / subtext.
Like, I know it's meant to parallel Mitch and Gail, and also that they are 16, but like, get a fucking grip.
Yeah.
It's just such an overreaction.
Yeah, you got together in the season one finale. It's episode 6. Like, relax. You've also known each other your whole lives. Like, these fights should not be like this. Anyway, after the last commercial break, Jack and Jen arrive at Graham's house. Jen gently laughing that his eyes already starting to swell up. He sheepishly says he should have left things alone, and she guesses he really likes Joey. He's always been a sucker for lost causes, he says, further giving credence to your... Well, no, if you're right that they're laying in the foreshadowing this far in advance, like, okay, maybe you're right.
But also, what a weird thing to say about somebody you supposedly like.
No, I think he's the lost cause.
Oh, sure.
Her getting her is the cause that is lost.
Right.
Yeah.
Still, it's weird.
Yeah, sure. Jen thinks it's okay for him to be a romantic, but he thinks that's just another word for loser. And they both laugh. And then he winces and she tells him to get some ice before she goes inside.
It's another word for gay.
First, she thanks him for a really great time. When he was with her, he did a good job acting like he didn't want to be with somebody else. Acting, you say. One more thing. He should keep fighting for his lost causes because his luck could change. And then Jack is trudging out as Mitch pulls up in the driveway. Now the song on the soundtrack wonders, what does your revolution serve? We get it. Mitch parks and squints into the house just as Gail walks in front of a window looking lost. And Mitch clenches his jaw and drives back out and I hope offers Jack a ride. Jack was just walking home to wherever he lives. And then Andy's standing on the thinking pier in town when Pacey finds her. She thought he didn't dance. And he says she could hardly call that dancing. She would call it foreplay. But then again, they don't know each other's explanations. They're just sparring partners. Pacey says Andy knows that's not true. He was having a great time with her. But when he ran into Christy, he got swept up in the moment. It's too bad Andy's not the kind of girl who can sweep him away, she says. Pacey asks if Andy can say she hasn't wanted to act out a fantasy, even if she knew it was wrong. And she says she was trying to act out a fantasy all night. Oh, Andy.
Clipping. Yeah, not a helpful thing to say, Pace.
No.
Why do you like me?
What?
Why do you like me? I'm a screw up, Andy. I'm thoughtless. I'm insecure. And for the life of me, I just can't understand why a woman like you would bother to care about me.
God, I don't know, Pacey, because you're funny and you're kind and you don't judge people. And you make me feel good about myself. I mean, you didn't run screaming the other day from my house when you met my crazy old mother. And you're smart. I mean, I don't know where you get this whole loser complex, Pacey, because you are so smart. And you spar better with me than anyone. And you're sharp and you're witty. And you're brilliant. And this is more than you deserve right now.
That was so sweet. His tone on why do you like me is so vulnerable. He's really good in this part.
There was a moment earlier when she called him stubborn and he smiles and it's so cute.
Yeah, he's really sweet. So she starts to leave and he stops her with an arm grab, unfortunately, and says he's sorrier than he's been in a long time. That moment he spent with Christy, he was with the wrong person. And Pacey finally asks Andy to dance and they do. And I'll just say, this is now that we can say it without it being complicated. This is a man who knows how to hold a woman. He just looks very natural doing it. There are gifts in the visual aids, because of course there are. And then clip 19.
Sharp, witty, and brilliant, huh? Anything you care to add to that?
You think I find this charming, Pacey? You're majorly deluded.
Of course, how could you? I'm a witless boar.
Oh, fish clog.
Major cat, kiss me.
Thought you'd never ask.
And that's their first kiss. Aw. This song wants to know if you ever loved somebody so much the earth moved, and the answer is yes, it was Pacey Witter. When Dawson gets home, Joey is waiting on the end of his bed. She apologizes again. He asks what happened. She starts to repeat the sequence of events, but Dawson means between the two of them. And looking shattered, Joey says she doesn't know. Clip 20.
Ever since we got together, you've been pulling away from me. I thought this was what you wanted. I thought I was what you wanted. Am I?
You're what I'm going to want, Dawson.
What does that mean?
For so long, all I've thought about was you. I mean, all I dreamed about was you.
What happened?
I got my dream. And now I feel like I don't have anything else. I mean, you have your future so perfectly planned, Dawson. You know exactly what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, and me, I don't even know who I am, let alone, you know, what I want to be and accomplish. I guess I, I, I need to figure that out, and I need to find my something.
So we'll find it.
It can't include you, Dawson. It has to be my doing and mine alone. You make me so happy. You know?
Why?
Yeah.
But I have to make myself happy first. And that's probably the one thing in this whole world that you can't do for me.
Okay. Again, I don't totally buy this as a reason to break up. Like, the reason is you thought you wanted him and then you were friends. Like, yeah. And you figured that out after you started dating. That's the reason.
Yeah. Or the reason is you just punched a guy and it was scary and I don't want to be anywhere near you. Also a good reason.
Yeah.
But I don't buy any of this speech.
No. Like, if I need to find my passion, like, okay, you can do that and date someone. Like,
yeah.
People do it all the time. So whatever. I don't really care that much about the reason because I'm just happy we're here finally. Mm-hmm.
So fast, too.
Really faster than I remembered. Fast. Yes, yeah. Totally. So Dawson asks what Joey's saying, but she just walks past him to the window. And so Velma Kelly, in an act of desperation, clip 21.
I love you.
I love you too, Dawson.
But how can it be over? We can't just say I love you for the first time and have it be over.
I have to go, Dawson. Good night.
Bye! Keep running.
Please be careful climbing the ladder in those heels. But
oh
yes,
my God,
otherwise.
Yes, you really can see she's like very carefully picking her way down. Like, take them off.
Well, and then she runs away, and I think that they've changed them. Like, she's running across the lawn, and I think she's in flats.
Mm-hmm. I do hope they had a big fire department, like, inflatable at the bottom of that ladder, though, because she really looks like it's treacherous. And so, inside, Dawson goes nuts on his room in his hilariously flaily way, but when he jumps outside to try to stop Joey, it's the season one finale all over again. She is, as we said, hauling ass across the lawn, already too far away for him to catch. And as a final petulant tantrum, he kicks down the ladder, and that's it for these two as BFGF. I forget if they ever get together. I guess we'll find out, but that's it for now. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Rich, he had a calculator.
He did, and he had a friend who knew he was generous enough to probably lend it.
Yeah. No, I think it has to be Joey for finally ending this shit, but it's or Bessie for laughing in Joey's face. It's a rough one for valuables.
Mm-hmm. I did love that Bessie moment, but yes, I have to say Joey for doing what had to be done. Least valuable player. Ugh, Dawson, such a little bitch.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with men.
Yeah.
All of them. Like, I mean, Jack and Pacey have their moments, but they're also both not great.
And Mitch, take your shoes off the bedspread.
Oh, for sure, Mitch. Yeah, no, Mitch is definitely in there.
Next time! It's 1998, so everyone at Capeside High is taking a purity test to wreck all their relationships. The ones that didn't wreck themselves after the homecoming dance, but also that one. You should put the World Wide Web to productive use by going to our website. You can grab that RSS for the full podcast archive going all the way back to the 90210 pilot. You can find purchase info for a very special 90210 book, which we really wrote for real, our various social media links, a tantalizing list of all the perks you'll get if you support us on Patreon, links to our visual aids, links to our merch store, all that and more, again with this podcast.com. You can also call our hotline anytime, and you should. You never know when we'll spring another call-in episode on you and you don't want to be part of it? Come on. Leave us one or more voicemails at 210-767-2237. Sarah will be back next week, so as we bid farewell to you for now, Adam, where can the listeners get more of you?
I am Adam807 on various social medias, and my Muppet Show podcast is Muppeturgy at Muppeturgy.com and also all the places.
Thank you so much for sitting in for Sarah. It has been a true joy to have you.
Thank you.
I'm Tara Ariano. You can find me everywhere on social media at Tara Ariano. Our producer is David T. Cole, who we think is sharp, witty, and brilliant. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with more Again With This.
Sorry, no can do.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.